we all know that that was not a one-man show. That those 3 days were you guys each serving. Different people served on Saturday to make that youth event happen. Different people served on Friday with meals. Different people served by hosting. You guys were just amazing. I was so blessed because this team is somewhere different every 3 days. And you know what they said? This was our, Huron is our favorite spot we've went so far. They started in Cincinnati on the East Coast. I'm like, you know, was it the largest pheasant in the world? What was the draw? Was there our assortment of restaurants or shopping? We do have good Thai food. No, it was, I kept questioning it. And person after person, this has been our favorite stop. It has, this is what they said, it hasn't even felt like ministry. It just felt so easy. It just felt so easy. And so I just say, praise God to that, right? Wonderful. And, you know, when you know that you have an anointing as a church for something, you need to do it with all your heart. And the Lord's given us an anointing to host, to have conferences, to love on missionaries, to be an encourager. And I love seeing all of you guys shine in that. All right. Okay, so we are actually in a series on praise. It started 2 weeks ago, took a pause for the YWAM team. Of course, that could have been a whole nother, that was just basically a sermon on praise last week, wasn't it? That was so great. All the worship. So we're in a series on the 7 Hebrew words for praise. And, you know, in Hebrew, there's seven different words that when they're translated into English, they're all translated praise. But each one of them actually has its own meaning and connotation and kind of fullness about it. And so, you know, we could read a verse that says, praise the Lord. But when we understand what the writer meant when they said, praise the Lord in that particular verse, it's like so much more powerful. And so I just feel like the Lord wants us to grow in our ability to be presence-focused family. As a church, we are a presence-focused family. Yes. If we don't have his presence, we don't have anything. Yeah. And his presence is the very treasure. It's the pearl of great price. He, him, his presence is him. It's Jesus standing in our midst. Him, his presence manifesting, showing up, doing what he wants. And so at James River Church, we want to have a corporate presence-focused family, and then we want each individual family to be a presence-focused family where you, 7 days a week, in your own home, with your own children, you're building lives around him. Not building lives and hoping someday he kind of shows up every once in a while, but no, he is the centerpiece. Presence-focused families. Presence-focused families embrace the great commandment, the greatest commandment, which is, someone shouted out, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. The greatest commandment is love. And presence-centered families embrace and live out the great commission, which is making him known, neighborhoods and nations. So I encourage you, if you missed 2 weeks ago, I actually encourage you to go back onto our YouTube channel. Our YouTube channel is JRC, stands for James River Church, JRC Huron. We've had some people, you know, you get used to your own language, and we've had some newer folks that were like, what's this JRC? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. It's the initials of our church. I guess that would be confusing. JRC Huron is our YouTube channel, and I encourage you to go back and listen to the message from 2 weeks ago, because we really did lay a foundation for the series, and a lot of things that I can't reteach this morning, or else I'll never get anywhere new, okay? But I encourage you to go back to read it, or not read it, to listen to it. You know, there's many benefits of worshiping God, right? Many benefits. But ultimately, we worship him not for the benefits, but because he's worthy. Like Brad said, he's worthy and we love him. That's why we worship him. Are there benefits? Oh, yeah. See, when we enter into the worship that's happening in heaven, he breaks into the darkness that's happening on earth. There's a lot of benefit. A lot of benefit. But we worship him because of who he is. I heard this said recently on a, I heard about this podcast where they were talking about our church services in America. And most of our church service is geared towards each other. Like we have greeters at the door to greet. This is all fine, right? We have greeting time. We have maybe ushers to help people find seats. We have our baby zone. We have our kingdom kids to teach the kids, to build them up. Even the sermon is for your personal benefit. I am teaching right now to build you up. I want you to be encouraged in God's word, right? But actually when we come together and we worship, it's the one time in the service that it's really not about you or me. It's the one part of the service that I'm not singing to build you up, yes. Right? We're not playing instruments. Now, we want you to join in, right, to be edified, but it's all for one, right? When we come together in our corporate moment, it's the one moment when we are worshiping together through song that it's only about him. It's not about, we're not giving encouraging words to one another. We're not singing to one another. We're not evaluating each other's worship. Don't do that. You're not receiving it, so you don't get to evaluate it. Just let God evaluate the worship, right? Look at how she raises her hands. Don't do that. On the fear of God, don't do that. I'm afraid Ananias and Sapphira thing would break out in the church. Don't do that. And at the same time, don't be like, oh, look at that guy with his arms crossed. Don't do it. Get your eyes on Jesus. Don't evaluate another man's worship. Don't do it. But there is ways that God likes to be worshiped, and we want to know what they are. How does he like to be praised? So very, very quickly, I already took too long on summarizing that. Last week, we talked about the two Hebrew words, yada and todah. Yada is the word for praise that means the extension of our hands. It actually means a people coming together and like throwing their hands up like an arrow to the Lord. And we talked about 2 weeks ago how it's almost primal instinct to throw our hands up when we get excited. Some of you very soon will be watching a special football game on TV. And we think you're all conservative and little, you know, we think you're all like shy and look at how put together you are until you're screaming your guts off at the TV and shouting and raising your hands. Psalm 67 says, may the people yada you. May they praise you with lifted hands. May all the people yada. Praise God. He likes it. He likes it. The other word we talked about 2 weeks ago was todah. Ta-da! So you can remember it. Which is also an extension of the hands. It's also a lifting of the hands, but this one's a little different. This is where we worship God with lifted hands in thanksgiving, as a confession, and as a sacrifice of praise. This one is where, in Hebrew, it means this is a sacrifice of praise for things he's given to us, but things we have not yet received. This is when we worship him with uplifted hands, not because you got everything you asked for, but even though you haven't gotten everything you asked for. This is, I praise you for what you've done, and I praise you for what you will do, Lord. Todah is the unoffended praise to a good God who you know by faith is a promise keeper. And if you've served Jesus for more than 5 minutes, you've had things he's done for you and things he's not yet done for you that you're believing him for. Todah is a powerful expression of our praise to God where we say, Lord, we praise you for what you've not done yet. Believing that you will act on our behalf. We're not going to be offended. And if you want to know more about that, 2 weeks ago, JRC here on YouTube channel. Okay, moving on. This morning, we're going to talk about the Hebrew word for praise called zamar. Everyone say zamar. Zamar. That's not such a hard word. Zamar. Say it one more time. Zamar is the Hebrew word for praise found in the Psalms that talks about praising him through instruments. Yep. Psalm 144:9 says, I will sing a new song to O Lord on a harp of 10 strings. We don't all have harps, but some of us have guitars with a few less strings, right? 6 strings. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you. I will zamar to you. How many of you in here play an instrument? You don't have to play it well. How many of you play an instrument? Even if you're bad at it. Keep your hand up. Okay. Awesome. You can. Do you know you don't need to have a high level of skill on an instrument to worship God with it? Now, you might have to have a higher level of skill to lead other people in worship. It's true. Because sometimes you have enough skill to worship the Lord, but no one else knows the song you're trying to play. But at home, with you and Jesus, nobody needs to know the song you're trying to play. Right. I encourage you, get your instrument out and worship the Lord on it. Amen. Oh, I'm not very good at it. Oh, you know, you're not worshiping people. Lay down perfectionism. You are using your instrument as an expression of your praise to the Lord. He loves it. There's something so powerful about worship happening on instruments. Do you remember in the Old Testament a man named King Saul? Okay. Saul was the first king of Israel. And Saul made some bad choices in his life, opened some doors, and got a demon spirit tormenting him. Okay? It was ugly, ugly, ugly picture. And this demonic spirit would come on him and torment him, and he'd be under torment. And his advisors were like, what do we do? And they're like, we know this anointed young man who plays the harp and worships God on the harp. And they brought in David, young David, who had perfected his skill on an instrument on the backside of a pasture, taking care of sheep, hours and hours of boredom. You know what he did? He made a slingshot with some stones and practiced it against a tree. That came in handy later. And then he took his little instrument out there and he would play it and he would play it and he would play it. But he didn't just play it to the wind. He's playing it to his God. And in comes young David, before David was famous, before David had a platform. And when David would play his harp, the evil spirit would leave. And Saul would have relief. That's what the scripture says. Worship is powerful. You worshiping on your instrument is powerful. Linda was telling me this morning, she had no idea that we were talking about zamar, worshiping God, praising him through stringed instruments or through instruments in general. She was telling me that every morning she gets up and she worships God on her piano because she was getting tired. She would try to read her Bible and she was falling asleep. She's like, I need to worship the Lord. And so she'll play the piano and worship the Lord for the audience of one. She's in her living room. She's doing it for her and Jesus. Just worshiping and pouring her heart out on the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. Zamar. I encourage you, just start doing it. If you're like, well, I don't have much time, do it twice a week. If you play an instrument, sit down with it twice a week and just say, God, right now I'm just going to worship you for 10 minutes on this. The next Hebrew word we're going to talk about today is tehillah, which reminds me of some kind of song. Tehillah! I think it's a different word, but it might be tequila or something. Very close to the word tequila, but tehillah. Everyone say tehillah. Tehillah! Makes you kind of want to dance, something. Tehillah. got your attention now. Tehillah is the Hebrew word for praise that talks about singing songs of praise. What we just did here for 30 minutes, there's many different forms of worship probably expressed here, but we were giving the Lord a tehillah. We were giving him songs of worship through singing, right? Tehillah actually means laudation. It means a hymn, a song of praise, a new song, a spontaneous song. I love all those meanings in that one word. So every time we see tehillah translated as praise in the book of Psalms, it actually means a spontaneous song, a new song. Sing him a song. Psalms 22:3 says this, "But you are holy, enthroned in the tehillah of Israel." God is enthroned in the praises, the singing, the worshipful singing of his people. Singing from the heart is actually very, very powerful. Do you think that you have to have a good voice to sing to the Lord? Do any of us have a good voice compared to what's happening in heaven? I mean, who are we comparing ourselves to, right? Oh, well, I don't really carry a great tune, or I don't have really a great quality voice. When we come together, I encourage you, you're singing for someone else, not your neighbor, not your husband, not your wife, not your kids. We're giving him our tehillah. We're giving him our songs of praise. So tehillah is such a loaded word. It definitely has to do with singing. It's definitely praising him through singing, but praising him through singing in different ways. And one is singing him, praising him through singing hymns or songs of praise. I like to think of these as our familiar songs. Songs that are just familiar to us. Do any of you have, like, who have known Jesus for a while? Do you have a song from your youth that just means a lot to you? Yeah. Do you remember what it's called? It's okay if you don't. No, it's all right. I know exactly what you mean. Do you want to sing it? You don't have to. Yes. Oh, beautiful. Thank you for sharing. No, it's okay. You just said it, though. I immediately knew what song, I think. Yeah, so, you know, there are songs that are familiar to us. I have a song from my history. I grew up in a beautiful Christian home. Like, I accepted Christ when I was 5 years old. I loved the Lord all of my life. By the time I was 17, I knew I wanted to be serving him full time. I really wanted to be a missionary. I am. Just different than I thought it was going to be. And you know what? There's this song that we used to sing at church camp a really long time ago. I am not that young anymore. It was many decades ago. And we would sing this song occasionally at our church, our little country church I grew up in. It was called "I Surrender All." I surrender all to you, precious Savior. I surrender all. I have a history with that song. Don't be sad if your favorite songs that you have connections with in your heart aren't sung on a Sunday morning. Find them on YouTube. Buy them on a CD. And let yourself worship God with those things that you and him have a history with. Jesus and I have a history with "I Surrender All." Like, I remember being a kid at the altar at youth camps, on my face, crying, singing, "I Surrender All," and laying down all the temptations every teenager has for the world and every crazy thing that goes through every teenager's mind. I remember crying at the altar saying, I surrender all, and singing that song. Don't be sad if it's not sung on a Sunday morning. That doesn't keep you from connecting with Jesus, because each one of you have, some of you have hymns. My grandpa's favorite song was What a Friend I Have in Jesus. What a Friend I Have in Jesus. He was 95 when he finally passed into glory. He was a glorious man. And we had all the little grandkids get up and sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus at his funeral. Like, it moves me to this day. That's a song I have history with just because of his history with it. So a tehillah can be like a hymn or song of praise. These can be the familiar songs that just never quit touching your soul. Dig them up. Listen to them. Worship him. Remember what he's done. Like, there's just songs that, like, it's amazing how God uses worship and how he loves worship. There, it'll just take you right back into a memory. A certain song, right? Some of you might have had some boyfriend or girlfriend when you were 15 and you had a song, and that comes on the oldies radio now. And you're just like, whoa, cringe. Music touches our soul, right? Praise God. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of the Lord dwell in you richly, teaching and exhorting one another with wisdom, singing psalms, singing hymns. Now, when we think of hymns, we think of one certain thing. We think of a hymnal, right? I think there's always been hymns, but What a Friend I Have in Jesus was not around 2,000 years ago. So, you know, we just, and with spiritual songs. Psalm 22:3 says this, or I already said this, that the Lord says he's enthroned in the praises in the tehillah of Israel. So what does it mean for God to be enthroned in our praises? Because that's a really powerful statement. Like, if I can get God in here, like, we want God in the room, right? We each carry the Holy Spirit. But I think there's something that happens corporately. There's an anointing on congregations that prioritize his presence and preach his word and say, we're going to love you no matter what. So our corporate worship moments are not concerts. They're not sing-alongs. And depending on what tradition you come from, like if you came from other church traditions, you may really have to renew your mind about what it means for us to come together and sing. And it's okay that we come from, so in this room, we have people that come from Catholic backgrounds, Hutterite backgrounds, Mennonite backgrounds, Baptist backgrounds, Lutheran backgrounds, Methodist backgrounds, Assembly God backgrounds, Catholic backgrounds. There's more. I'm sure there's more. We love them all. And with every tradition, every church tradition, every church background comes different ideas about worship is. And if your idea about worship doesn't line up with the Word of God's idea about worship, then it's just time to renew our mind. That's all. That's all it's saying. We need to renew our mind. Because our corporate worship moments, when we're praising God through song, are so powerful to the heart of the Lord that he says, I will choose to set up my throne right there. What does it mean? When God's throne comes, his dominion is manifested. That's powerful. When God sets up his throne, that means the kingdom's here, right? That means the kingdom's come and his lordship with it. Don't you want that? The lordship of Jesus to be established when we praise him? Praise God. I debated whether to share this story, but I'm just going to do it because I do think it fits. When we worship, remember what he says? He says he established his throne in our tehillah, in our worship. So he establishes his dominion, his kingdom, his lordship over the worshiping, singing people of God. There have been a number of times I have been in a deliverance time with somebody who has very serious demonic issues. And I'm praying them through to freedom. Now, if you guys decide, many of you have already experienced this, you decide you're going to get in the trenches with people and you're going to disciple people, you're going to run into their demons. And guess what? I want to help equip you because they're not supposed to stay, okay? Every time Jesus came face to face with someone's demons, the demons left. He didn't leave, okay? So, and you know, nothing's changed. People have demonic issues now, just like they had 2,000 years ago when he was casting them out of people. And so a number of times I've been ministering to someone who had very serious demonic issues, and the demon was manifesting. And so I told it to go in Jesus' name, and it was like doing what the Bible says. And it seemed like it wasn't going. Like that demon didn't want to leave that person. So I have a choice. I can sit there and stare at the demon and start screaming at it, or I can fix my eyes on Jesus and I can worship him. I really recommend option number two. And so I remember this one time I'm driving in a car with a person, and I'd actually taken them out of town somewhere to get some ministry because they had a lot of life-controlling demonic issues. And I said, I think that you should get some special ministry. Took them somewhere to another state. We were driving, and that ministry time literally ended. We got in the car for a very long drive, and they just full-on manifest demons in the car. And I'm driving, and I'm like, holy smoke, what am I supposed to do? I like literally, like, I'm not in a great place. I'm by myself. And they're threatening to throw open the car door and throw themselves out of the moving car. I'm on a highway. And I feel like if I stop the car, they're gonna run out. I'm never gonna be able to get them back. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm like, and so I'm like, do you think that maybe you should tell your demons to leave? So I say to the person, trying to get them to confess, their own confession that the demons need to leave is very powerful, more powerful than my confession that they should leave. And they're like, no, I'm not going to. Don't even say that. You know, they're really, really mad, really, really angry because they're just not in their right mind. And so I'm like, okay. And I just lay my hands on them and I pray the prayer. And they're just doing their thing. They're screaming. They're crunching pop cans with their hands, and they're like literally, it's really intense. I actually, it goes down as one of the most intense couple hours of my entire life. And then I think this, I'm worshiping Jesus right now because that thing's not coming home with me. We are leaving this thing behind. We are not bringing this thing back into the, you know, city. I'm not dropping this person off at their house with this thing. So I've already told it to leave, and I just start worshiping God. Like, just worshiping. And honestly, I was worshiping super loud, and I wasn't on pitch because I was so intense. I was like, I love you, God! I love you, Jesus! Jesus reigns in this car! Jesus reigns in this car! Get your tequila out, people! I am not joking, okay? And the person's just like, either just sitting there doing their demonic thing. And this goes on for about an hour. I'm like just worse. And then sometimes God will give me a phrase like to pray or declare over the person. So then I'll pray and declare in Jesus' name, a phrase of freedom, something. And then I start like prophetic. I would call it prophetic songs start coming to me. Phrases of freedom for this person. It's so ugly. If someone had recorded me, it would, because it was intense, guys. So it would have been something like, she is meant for freedom. Freedom is what she's meant for. I'm just like screaming it and singing it and staring ahead and going, I'm not letting go. This thing's leaving the car, and I'm fixing my eyes on you, Jesus, not on that demon. Finally, the person says, shut up! I'll pray, okay? To this day, I think that person holds out that I just drove them crazy to the point of finally repenting with my song. And so they start confessing, and like, I don't want these things. I repent, you know, repenting or whatever. And I was like, yep, and now you need to do this. Now you need to repent of this and blah, blah, you know. And at one point, they stopped and they're like, I don't think I want to repent of that. I'm like, I'm singing. As I told them, I said, I'm going to sing again. And I meant it. I was like, and I just started singing on one note. She's like, do you know any other notes? I'm like, nope. Jesus, I love you. You are great. I mean, it's like, I don't have time to think of a cute, catchy tune. Fine. That person got free. They totally got free. Totally got free. It is a funny story. It's a very true story. But I think it demonstrates this. He's enthroned in our praises. His kingdom comes when we worship. Like his dominion comes into the room, and things that are wrong must become right. Because the king has brought his domain here. That's powerful. That is why when you find a worshiping community that know how to fix their eyes on God, worshiping families, healings happen when no one lays hands on them. Demons leave when nobody prays. People get saved before the sermons ever preach, because he comes and establishes the king's domain. Oh, I love your tehillah. I'm going to come and just sit my throne right in the middle of the tehillah of my people. I have been feeling this passion for us as a church to understand what God loves in worship and to go there with him. Because it is powerful. You guys got some. I actually have a couple more stories like that, to be honest. I mean, that's happened a couple times where there's been a demonic thing that's manifested ugly, and I'm like, I already told it to go. It's going to leave. We're not going to leave this person until it's gone. Let's worship Jesus, because I'm not going to sit there and stare at that ugly thing. And we worship, and then it leaves. Whew, praise God. So there you go, guys. Everyone who's discipling somebody, if you come into that little tricky situation, you know what to do. Hold your ground and just worship. All you need is one note screaming. That's all you need. Oh, maybe that's kind of like that hard punk music kind of stuff, that scream. You guys are going to be good at that. What kind of music? Hard, what is it? Hard metal. Heavy metal. I'm sorry. I am such an old person. They say they have written heavy metal worship songs. Love it. It's going to reach a generation, going to reach a certain group of people. It's amazing. All right, guys. Tehillah. Another expression of tehillah is the spontaneous song. There were some moments this morning where Jeff went into a spontaneous song, and that's why the words weren't up here. It was just a song in his heart. I think sometimes the words weren't up here because we just didn't have the words or something. I don't know. But there were a few times that Jeff started just singing phrases. You are my joy. 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 That wasn't a song that he had planned, just welling up within him. And one of the expressions of giving God tehillah worship is giving him the spontaneous song. This is the song that's just in your heart that you just let bubble up and come out. It doesn't have to be a great sound to others. It might not have a great tune. This is about your heart song. You don't have to be musically inclined to give a spontaneous song to the Lord. You don't have to know how to write a song. It's just what's welling up in there. I love you, God. You're so good. You're so faithful. What's sitting inside that just needs to come up and be the spontaneous song to the Lord? Kara Linder is so especially gifted at giving God a spontaneous song of worship. I just say it because I think it's good for us to recognize people who just have the boldness, too, to just do it because it's beautiful. And on Fridays, Kara and Rhema will, once a month at least, lead worship on Friday at House of Prayer. But sometimes even when they're not leading worship, Kara will come up when Chad's leading worship and just say, I have a song. And this, like a couple Fridays ago, I think it was Revelation chapter 4. Yeah, she came up and she said, I just want to sing Revelation 4. So cool. Chad just played and she literally sang Revelation 4 as a spontaneous song of worship to the Lord. I want this to be normal in our body. This is tehillah. This is beautiful. Sometimes in worship, we'll pause for a little bit and we're like, hey, just lift up your own song to the Lord. What we're asking is say, give him a spontaneous tehillah right now. And the musicians will just keep worshiping. We'll say, no, whatever's in your heart, just sing it out right now. We're giving space for tehillah, the spontaneous song of the Lord, whatever's in your heart to come out, where you're not bound to the lyrics on the screen, you can just sing your own phrases. A beautiful expression of the spontaneous song is singing in the Spirit, singing in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, 15, Paul talks about praying in tongues and praying in English, singing in tongues and singing in English. And the whole, like, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, well, 12 and 14, the love chapter is nestled right in between the chapters about the gifts. I don't think he was being sporadic. He was saying, use all the gifts in love, right? Right? So in chapter 14, you know, the church in Corinth, they loved the gift of tongues, and actually they used it a ton and even had to have some correction about how to use it because they were doing something that's never been done in this church ever. They were coming all together and thinking it was a good idea to like mainly talk and pray in tongues rather than also in English where we could hear each other, or they would get up to see like a prophetic word and say it in a tongue and not have an interpretation. So it's not very edifying to anyone, right? So he was giving them instruction. One of the things he says, though, in 1 14 and 15, it says, I will pray with the Spirit. He's talking about praying in tongues, other tongues. And I will pray with my mind, using words I understand. I will sing with the Spirit, by the Spirit that's within me. And I will sing with my mind, using words I understand. And he's literally, this is a regular part of their church service. Praying in tongues, praying in English, worshiping in tongues, worshiping in English. So what is the gift of tongues? Because some of you are like, oh, I don't even know what she's talking about. The gift of tongues is a grace where the Holy Spirit gives followers of Christ the ability to pray and worship in another language that they have never learned. It's a grace of God where you can pray or sing in a language that you never learned. So you're not like, oh, well, I kind of know Spanish. If I prayed in Spanish, would that be praying in other tongues? No, it's not. It's a language that you never learned it, okay? It's given by the Holy Spirit. When we pray or sing in tongues, we are praying or singing the perfect will of the Lord. We're praying by the Holy Spirit. We're singing by the Holy Spirit. The first time the gift of tongues ever showed up in Acts chapter 2, it was in the context of praise. Tongues of fire, they were all in a big prayer meeting, and like something that looked like fire fell down on every person. They all began to praise God in other languages, and it was made such a commotion that a big crowd came, thousands of people. And what did they say? Oh, I hear them praising God in my own language. So actually, from the beginning, tongues was a gift of praise. It was a gift of worship. Singing in tongues is a beautiful expression of tehillah worship. So I just want to pause for a moment. Does a spontaneous worship song in tongues need to be interpreted. And I want to pause because there is a gift of the Spirit. There's about 26, give or take a few, gifts that are listed in the Bible that are called the gifts of the Spirit. And they're used to serve the body, like the gift of helps, or gift of administration, gift of prophecy, gift of healing. And the gift of speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues is actually one of the 26 gifts. So the question is, and Paul very much instructs, like, if you're going to give a message in tongues, we need to interpret it for obvious reasons. Nobody can understand it if someone doesn't get an interpretation from the Holy Spirit, right? So there's moments, maybe at a prayer meeting, maybe in your house church, when that someone might have a message in tongues. Like, hey, I actually have a prophetic word right now, and I feel like the Lord wants me to give it in another language, in tongues. And in that time, we should pause. We should say, Holy Spirit, give us an interpretation. And he'll be faithful to you. Like, what are you trying to say through that? However, this is why I don't believe when we're just worshiping corporately that all of our little tongues together need to be interpreted. So there is the public gift that we were talking about where someone publicly gives a prophecy, whether in tongues or whether in English. We need to understand it, right? But what about if we're just all singing, music's going, and we say, let's just sing a spontaneous song to the Lord. And let's say that Kim can hear her husband praying or singing a song in English somewhere over there. It happens all the time, I'm sure, right? You know, but he's mumbling it, and she can't understand what he's saying. She stop the service. My husband's saying something I can't understand. Three chairs down. I must understand what he's just saying to the Lord from his heart. Of course, we wouldn't do that, right? We could have someone that, like, we're just all worshiping, and someone next to you might be worshiping and singing their heart song in English, and you might not understand what they're saying because you're not really paying attention, or it feels like they're kind of mumbling because they're nervous or something. Well, we don't stop and ask them to clarify. If we're in a corporate setting and we're like, let's sing a spontaneous song to the Lord. Some people sing in English. Some people are singing in the Spirit in tongues. We don't stop to say, wait, someone sang a heart song from the Lord in tongues right next to me and I didn't understand it. It wasn't for you. It wasn't for the whole body. At that moment, it was for the Lord. And nobody was waiting for that message to come or be interpreted. It wasn't for you. It was just a song to the Lord. Yeah. So there's so much to be said on that. There could be whole messages on that. But I'm going to take just that second to address it. Because actually singing in the Spirit, singing in English, it's all beautiful. Okay. The last aspect of tehillah is tehillah means a new song. I get excited when I hear that you guys write new songs. You're writing a new worship song. You're giving the Lord a tehillah. It's powerful. Our old songs that are familiar, but actually we should always be having new songs. Creating a new song to the Lord is a beautiful thing that he loves. In heaven, there are new songs being written. And we have glimpses in the book of Revelation into new songs that have never been sung. Can you imagine? The Lord is from eternity past, has no beginning, has no end, and there's still songs being sung that have never been sung before about his goodness. That's amazing. I think a billion years from now, in eternity, we're still going to be hearing new songs erupting in heaven, worshiping the Lamb. So we should celebrate the new songs. Many years ago, Chad wrote a song. He sang it a couple times. A lot of people didn't even know that it was his song. I didn't know at first it was his song. That, you know, artists can be, it's a lot to put yourself out there with a new song. It was a great song. I was like, Chad, I want you to sing it 4 weeks in a row. You can't sing that one time and then stop. We got to know the song the Lord's bringing out in this season from this congregation. Let's learn it. Let's go deep in what he's saying to us. It was beautiful. Revelation 5:9 says this. Could someone get me another bottle of water? They're in the fridge. Thank you. Right? And you are such a leader. Thank you, buddy. Okay, ushers, do you have his number? He is future greeter usher right there. Actually never seen a stronger leadership gift on a child. You're right up there with Malachi. When Malachi was your age. Jeff, if you'd like to come up and get ready. So Revelation 5:9, we're going to end with this. And they sang a new song with these words. This is heaven. And this is the new song that erupted in heaven, talking about Jesus. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Worthy is the Lamb. Write new songs, people. Sing spontaneous songs. Bring up your oldie goldies that you have a history with. Sing your heart out in your car. Get over yourself whether you have a good voice or not. Just know when you lift up your heart song, his throne comes. That's really beautiful. Jeff tells his testimony when he was 17, he got saved. And he didn't know anything. He didn't know anything about anything. And he had all this super demonic music he listened to, like every teenager his age. And he would literally come out of youth group after worshiping Jesus, I love you, Lord, and get in his car and like Alice in Chains was playing or something. Like, he just like rock out to it, singing these demonic lyrics. And one day, but then he also had like, he got like one or two Christian tapes, guys, because that's how old we are. Cassette tapes, that was a thing. They were about this size and they had two little reels. And you had to physically rewind them. And he had a couple tapes with worship songs. And then he just put one in one day and he would worship the Lord. And then the next day he'd be singing to demonic songs. But then he realized, like, I feel his presence when I sing in my car to the worship songs. I don't feel God's presence when I sing to these other songs. And God took him on a journey. Like, he didn't know. I mean, he wasn't, like, under deep conviction at that time. Just, when I sing worship, I feel God's presence. When I sing these other songs, I don't. He was experiencing in his car the tehillah. When you sing worship, the throne comes. The kingdom. The king's domain, wherever you're at. Let's go ahead and stand up right now. I know if you're a note taker, you'll notice I didn't get to the last one. That's okay. I didn't know if I would. So we're just going to end our time with some worship. And I know I shared this last week, but I want to share it again. The posture of our body directly affects the posture of our heart. I'll tell you this. When I'm mad at Jeff, maybe I am fire-spitting mad. And my arms are crossed. I'm saying with everything in me, don't you dare.
I don't like that look.
Oh, doesn't come often. I'm pretty sweet. But guess what? My physical posture, it's not helping my heart out. And I'll tell you, all you people who are married out there, I'll give you a tip. Let's say you're really mad. Make yourself open your body up to your spouse, even if you're mad on the inside. Because your physical body affects your heart. Somehow they're tied. And this does something to this. And singing does something to this, and this, which is we'll talk about next week, it does a whole nother thing. Like, this is all about, he's king, right? You can't go down on your knees and still think of yourself as the leader of your life. It's something about when you hit your knees, you know you're not the leader. It's God just made us, like, connected. So we're just going to worship the Lord. Nobody is looking at anybody else's worship, but I encourage you, close your eyes and give him a praise. Lift your hands if you want to lift your hands. Sing. Maybe you want to sing a new song to the Lord. Maybe God's going to give you a spontaneous song. But right now, we want you to be enthroned in the tehillah of your people, Lord. We say, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor and power and praise and dominion. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you, Lord.
You are King.